Good morning, everybody, here on a beautiful Tuesday. It is September the 14th, 2021. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ behind the glass. How we feeling this morning, boys? Everybody good?
Good.
Everybody doing a little bit better.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're one day removed now. You got your Packers gear back on. Everything's like, we're okay now.
Well, I did not wear my Packers gear yesterday because...
Well, you had the Tupac shirt on that nobody even mentioned, which was like, come on.
My cultural awareness was on 1,000 yesterday. It was the day that Tupac died. Nobody commented on my sweatshirt.
There's fans of Tupac and then there's not. I for one, was. Am still listen to him. But anyway, crazy game last night. We'll get into it in a little bit. I personally was floored on how it ended. I basically watched the entire game start to finish. And we'll get into that in a little bit. There's a lot of stuff on the rundown. It is your first Tuesday of a fantasy football season, so you know what that means. You got to hit the waiver wire just to see who is the guys worth going to grab, who you're going to drop. You know, that's another thing. How do you drop a guy after 1 week, unless he's hurt, unless he's like out for the year? How do you determine? I mean, we'll get into it, but like, how do you determine? Like, yeah, all right, he's not going to be any good all year. Why drop anybody?
Well,
at this
there's point? A lot of times where at the back end of drafts, people are pretty much looking at roster spots as interchangeable parts. Like, okay. I will sometimes, and depending on the size of the league, I'll just designate a roster spot to kind of stream players.
Like a fluctuating...
Until I land somebody that sticks, and then you kind of have that same issue.
Gotcha.
But yeah, always finesse the back end of the roster. Today's the day where I've been kind of fearing for a little bit because I'm in six leagues.
How'd you do?
I went 4-2. Yesterday I lost on... I don't want to talk about it.
Why not?
Overtime bullshit. I was up 3.6.
Oh,
Tucker kicked a field goal. I was up 0.6, and he had Kenyon Drake on his team.
Did he catch that last ball?
And then Kenyon Drake just had like a 7-yard run, and I lost by literally a fraction of a point. But that's not why I'm worried. That's not why I'm upset. Today's the waiver wire day where I give out my top waiver wire.
And then you also have
and
to
I'm
get
also
to the waiver
in
wire.
With people that are watchers and listeners or viewers of the show, listeners of the show, so they're going to get all my waiver wire, I guess, tidbits.
You just got to hope that, like, it depends on your draft position, but that's how you determine week one, right? Like, unless they used it already.
Yeah, if you had the last pick of the draft, you have the first waiver wire pick. If you
unless use you used it.
Yeah, unless you use it.
Already.
I mean, if you use your waiver wire right outside the gate, outside the draft, then you're a rookie.
You're a psycho.
You're probably not taking my advice anyway because you're not watching the show because you're not tuned in. So we'll just moving on. I know that we'll get to that in a little
bit.
I don't know where
AJ, what else we got going on here today? You wrote down a lot of stuff that I may have not even heard some of this stuff.
Something that I saw in the news yesterday is that the Cleveland Browns center and NFLPA president J.C. Tretter has called for discipline against Kansas City Chiefs assistant coach who shoved Ronnie Harrison Jr. So I'm going to show the clip for you guys so we get some context.
Yeah. Please, because I don't think I saw this. Wow. All right. Wow. Okay. Jeez. So that's the first I'm seeing that.
Player got ejected.
That's
because
bullshit.
I'm sure it was like little brother, big brother. So it's like little brother gets caught. The second guy, right. Like the big brother is the one who's gets, you know, punches the kid in the face. And then the next thing you know, the guy who gets caught is the other one. You know what I mean?
100% like, have to discipline the coach without question. I don't mind him doing that if it's his own player. Right, you get in your own player's ass a little bit, and I actually have something to talk about, kind of regarding coaching and Sunday. But yes, the league has to come down on him.
Yeah,
the player's going to get fined. He might even get a suspension. I doubt it. They might do it.
Rough little shove there.
You can't put your hands on somebody. But honestly, he was retaliating, and it wasn't like he punched him in the mouth.
Yeah, he didn't throw an actual haymaker.
Garrett Blunt him, but. he was just retaliating. So the instigator in that situation, he's on film. It was clear as day. He did it. He started it. AJ, you agree, right?
I mean, yeah. No, the coach completely started it. He pushed the player and then...
Based off that video, though, the way I see it is the coach was just like, all right, man, get off. You know, get off.
What position was this player? Safety? Starting safety?
Safety. It's Ronnie Harrison's son.
Yeah, so he's a starting safety, mm-hmm. right? And then at that point, it was early in the game. Cleveland ended up... building a pretty substantial lead in that game. But then in the second half, Kelsey went off, and then there was that deep ball over the middle where, guess what? There was no safety help. So maybe that ejection actually got the Chiefs a win. And now we're starting to see a little bit of the Tom Brady effect.
Well, with Mahomes and the Chiefs
and the Patrick Mahomes effect.
Yeah, that could be a thing, man.
Too bad we didn't get that in Green Bay.
Something to monitor as things are dished out. Hey, you want to hear something crazy? It's not on the rundown before we get into the rest of the stuff. So the Dallas Cowboys, as I always bring up something about the Dallas Cowboys because that's what I do. Shocker, I know. But it's a big story, though. So we get Zach Martin back off the COVID list, right? Insert, you know, him out. Randy Gregory is now on the COVID list, our defensive end. That's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is Lyle Collins. LC, their right tackle, starting right tackle, is being suspended for 5 games, right? Did you read any of this story of how it's transpired?
No.
He did not fail any tests. There was 100-plus tests given to him. 100-plus given to him within a certain time frame, which is like, they're like, what? Like, you're basically getting tested almost twice a day for drugs or whatever. It's because he missed tests. Like, he wasn't there apparently for reasons, you know, legitimate reasons. So he's getting 5 games for missing tests, not failing tests.
They'll probably reduce that to about
two or three
games. He's definitely going to keep the suspension because a missed test is a failed test. If you've ever had a drug test for anything and you don't go, usually the reason why you don't go, and now I'm not saying this is his case, but they have to draw the line somewhere, and it does suck.
Right.
But if this wasn't the case, then you would see guys doing this all the time. They would actually just be cheating, taking steroids, and then it's, test time. There's no ramifications for missing the test. Then you open up the floodgates for people to actually cheat. So it's one of those situations where you hate when it happens to your team, but I understand it because it's just, that's the business.
It's just crazy. You know? I'm hoping the appeal goes through and he gets it down to like 2 or something like that. I mean, like, come on. 5 game checks for missing tests. You know, like that's a little
too much.
We've had
a couple conversations on the podcast in the past about coaching and style of coaching and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. If you watch the Lions San Francisco game this week, the defensive backs coach on Detroit is under fire for chewing out Jeff Okuda on the sidelines. Now, Jeff Okuda, obviously, he went on to rupture his Achilles in the game, and he's out for the season. So the third pick overall, I believe
two years ago, 2020, is
done for the year. So that's another blow to an already shitty Lions team. But just the point that I'm making is, I was saying before how I wouldn't have a problem if the coach punched his player in the face through the helmet on the sidelines, but doing it the other team is wrong. Now, in this case, he didn't even punch him. He was just literally chewing him out on the sideline, and they caught it on camera, and a coach in the NFL is now under fire for chewing out his player.
Poor baby.
Exactly.
Get off it.
So stop. Dave's at least coming around. This isn't the Giants, so he could actually agree with me.
No, but even if it's not... No. When you... Coaches should be able to discipline players by yelling at them. Can they put their hands on them? No, I don't believe in that. But if you're saying, like, if I went up, if I'm...
There's some context here. If you're putting your hands on a football player that's wearing full pads and, like...
Correct.
There's context. It's not like he went to punch him in the face. If you're finger pointing, like, he was pointing directly in his face. He was like... So that's the extent of what he was doing wrong, and it was on camera. The teammates were there. They didn't look shocked. They kind of just looked like it was par for the course because guess what? It is. That's
correct.
What happens in the
correct.
NFL.
If I'm the Dallas defensive backs coach Joe Witt Jr. and I see Anthony Brown get smoked by AB, I'm going, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, not like, hey, we'll get him on the next try. You know what I mean? Like, you got to get in the faces of these players. We get it. The players are divas. We get it. The world we live in now is a bunch of soft, soft individuals where they can't take any critiques whatsoever. Any. You could tell them the sky is blue, and they're like, it's a shade of gray.
I guess
I don't agree.
We're going to find out how soft Julio Jones is because Julio Jones was just criticized by Mike Vrabel. And now this is a situation where he's an obvious Hall of Famer and he goes to a new team and the head coach pulling the, I guess you could say the Belichick card.
Do we have that clip?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
Now.
Those are absolutely, that's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach.
What's he even
saying? That would fall into the category of doing dumb shit that hurts the team. Right there.
All right, so context, AJ. What exactly did he say? Because it mutes us and we don't hear it. You hear it. So what did he say?
So basically what Vrabel was saying is that the penalty was just stupid shit that hurts the team. And he said he put that in bold letters.
And he cursed. So he said stupid shit and he cursed about a star player who, honestly, if we're being honest, it was a shitty penalty and it was a bad timing. And I don't know if that would have changed the outcome of the game, but at the same time, when you're in that spot, and we watched it in the Packer game where you don't want stupid penalties. I know the Za'Darius Smith situation had nothing to do with the outcome of the game.
Correct.
But when you're in a spot where you're trying to fight back into a game and your team, and you do something stupid that shoots yourself in the foot, it eliminates any chance of a comeback. It's deflating the rest of the team. You, as a leader of the team, you want to be smarter than that. So Mike Vrabel, 100%, is well within his rights. He's the
still
head coach
a shitty tipper though, right?
He's a shitty tipper, but Mike Vrabel, yeah, you could call out your players, bro.
You have to. You got to hold these kids accountable. I'm sorry, and I say kid. Julio Jones is still a kid when it comes to the age of football. But like, come on, man.
No,
you can't,
he's your age.
Is he 35? I mean, 36?
He's getting it. I wouldn't say he's 36.
You know what? I really defeated.
But he's AJ Green's age, so AJ Green's not young.
I felt very defeated today. At the gym, you know, when you go, you ever go on the elliptical or the Stairmaster or whatever, and you can update the settings like weight and age, and it will like accurately take your calorie count. You know what I'm talking about or no?
I mean, I don't go to the gym anymore, well, so I don't.
In any event, when you go on the treadmill,
I haven't been at the gym,
you can set
months.
It where like you put your weight in and your age, and that'll
honestly,
factor in.
I do know
in.
What you're talking about,
so,
obviously, but
for
I've
the
never
first time,
been on a Stairmaster in my life.
For the first time, I actually had to, like the default setting is 35 years old. And for the first time, I had to like tick it up. And I was like, oh, God. Like, I'm not 35 anymore. Speaking of birthdays and speaking of happy birthday celebrations, Ben Wexler, my guy. Big bad Ben Wexler. I almost did another B, but I left it out because it's your birthday. Happy birthday, buddy. Appreciate the support. And, of course, some of the screenshots he was sending me. He was sending me some screenshots from the hangout the other day. When he was here for the Sunday stream, he's just like up in the camera with his Chop Sports gear on. And I'm like, dude, awesome. Great. Thank you. But anyway, yes, Virgo, another Virgo. There's too many of those. What else we got? USC, right? What are we doing here? Firing head coaches.
Yeah. And on top of it, I think the most important thing to note is that Helton went 46-24 at USC, a .657 winning percentage that ranks 9th all time in program history. And they have just fired him. They said,
"Is that good as far as like all time history for USC 9th?" You know what I mean? That seems like it's a low ranking. You know what I mean? Like it's a good winning percentage.
They probably been around over 100 years, so there's been a shitload of head coaches.
Has there been like I don't know how long Carroll was there.
I don't know. I'm sure there's been a guy over their course that's tenured really long.
Yeah.
So
but any event, go ahead. What was the what was the quote, AJ?
The quote and I quote
and you quote
and I quote. May I say they said they want a change in leadership. Isn't that the definition of firing somebody?
That is the definition of firing somebody. I will say after 2 weeks, that's what's happening. So this must have been that was drawn. That line was drawn already, you know, or that writing was on the wall or whatever cliches you want to use or quotes you want to use. That 2 games into a brand new college football season, you're getting fired. That's a big deal. That must have been something that trickled down over from last year, carried over to training camp to saying, like, if this guy doesn't get off to a red hot start, you're outie, you know?
And the exact opposite happened because they lose the first game and then a really important game they have against Stanford, fellow Pac-12 rival. They shit the bed. They are 17-point favorites and they lose badly. So.
Yeah, that's rough. It's very Scoop Espo chiming in. Urban Meyer salivating at the USC job because Urban Meyer may not make it past 1 year based off of health reasons. And when I say health, winning. winning provides happiness. There won't be much winning in Jacksonville. He will not be happy. He will not be healthy. He was not well. So I think that he's going to be on his way out very soon. And then, all right, so I will say this. Before we get into the fantasy waiver wire thing, and I asked you both, and AJ said he saw a clip or two. You didn't see it at all. I watched the Eli Manning and Peyton Manning broadcast. After I forgot all about it first. So I'm listening to Tirico and the guys on ESPN. And then I went like I scrolled to like Monday Night Raw during a commercial and I saw that it said Eli and Peyton. And I was like, oh shit, that's right. They're doing the secondary broadcast. So now the broadcast itself was pretty cool. And I sent you a picture of it. No response. You probably fell asleep, which I get. So the broadcast had their two faces talking football, talking shop, just like we basically did on Sunday, you know, where we're sitting there talking about the game. Those guys, like, football players are smart. Quarterbacks are just just above that. You know, there's just so many, and they use their fists a lot with when it comes to, like, you know, talk about, oh, bring the safety down, bring this, bring the cornerback this way, blah, 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 blah. I learned so much yesterday, and I thought I knew pretty much everything there is to know about the game of football. You learn so much by listening to these legends, and I think some of their banter was great. They had guests on, Ray Lewis, they had Travis Kelce.
I'd like to watch it more for the, you know, their takes on things with the X's and O's more so than their banter. I think that for the banter, I could just go on Instagram and probably see a mashup done by Bleacher Report or somebody and get the banter. But I do agree with you. Like, my favorite shows are the ones where they break down plays. If that's what they're doing out there, then I'm all for it.
That they were.
Eli bothers me sometimes. He's annoying to listen to.
You know what?
Peyton, I have nothing bad to say about Peyton. Obviously, we got force-fed Peyton for a while. And then he kind of, I guess he did kind of fade off for a little bit, but now I guess we're back to being force-fed Peyton. But Peyton's Place is the best show.
Peyton's Place is one of the greatest shows I've ever watched. Yes, ESPN Plus.
If it's anything like that, I gotta.
He's very funny, but I will say, you know, I worked for the Giants in 2007. I met Eli Manning a bunch of times. It's a funny dude. He's a dry, like, Dwight. He's a Dwight from The Office.
I'm not saying that, well, that might be a stretch. I don't think he grows beets and,
I'm just saying dry humor.
Yeah,
like,
all right, fair. But Eli,
I wasn't saying like he is Dwight.
I don't know. I mean, like, I guess I have to see more of him in an extended clip talking on camera, because from what I've seen of Eli, he's just an awkward guy.
The one thing I saw last night was that Complex Sports put up a thing like, Peyton Manning's got the jokes, and it was just him being like, okay, so however this Raiders play goes, I'll tell you how their season will. It's like an incomplete pass. He's like, 6-11. And then Eli's like,
That's funny to me. That is
horrible.
That's like Jimmy Palumbo comedy right there. That is like one incomplete pass, 6-11. You know, like, that's so fun. That, to me, that's funny. I don't know.
The only reason why that it would be funny, and in the case of Jimmy Palumbo, why it's funny is because he's very self-deprecating as well. So, so what you're allowed.
By the way, brand new Jimmy Palumbo show released today.
You're allowed to make fun of other people in that way if you make fun of yourself in that way. And I don't know that Peyton's out there self-deprecating.
Do you guys know the SpongeBob meme where they're like sitting in that like a comedy club thing and there's the one guy in the back and he's like, oh, brother, this guy stinks.
That's exactly
what I thought.
How do you not know that?
I don't know. I don't watch SpongeBob.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. I'm 36.
SpongeBob has been around for a long time.
It's a global icon.
It was definitely not around when I was like a kid. Like, when I'm growing up watching, like, Ghostbusters and stuff like that, SpongeBob wasn't around.
SpongeBob is a pretty good
adult
cartoon.
Listen, people swear by the show. Don't get me wrong. Like, one of my good friends in wrestling, Kevin Matthews, swears by SpongeBob. But I won't harp on it too much. I do think it's going to be a fun thing and a fun way to watch Monday Night Football rather than listen to some of the normal, you know.
Hi, SpongeBob. Is that even Patrick's voice?
I know. That is. That was pretty good. That was actually a good one. Yeah. I know that. So, like, I know that much. That was good. So, fine.
SpongeBob.
So, but I will say, like I said, I think this is a good alternative broadcast. Take it for what it's worth. The guests they had were great. I found it very poetic. Very poetic at the end of the game. We'll get into the game a little later. But they had Russell Wilson on, first and goal from inside the 5, and they called a pass, right? So I'm like...
So, like, obvious, insert obvious Super Bowl joke.
Right,
here.
That's what I'm saying. It was right there. Like, and you didn't know that was coming. You know what I mean? Like, Peyton or Eli...
You knew the joke was coming.
But it didn't come. That's the thing.
Oh, goodness.
I
guess I'll give him that then for not taking the layup.
Right. Kelce dropped he said shit on the air. You know, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, like, Ray Lewis was funny. You know, they talked about Eli's rookie year of not knowing what the mic linebacker was. Anyway, you got to go check it out. Go check out some of the clips. It's really funny stuff. Basically, we'll get into the Monday Night Football game in a little bit. But first, we said it before. It's now I can't believe I'm saying this. Week 2 is here already. You know, I feel like just yesterday we were talking about the NFL draft. You know, week 2 of the NFL season is here, but that means waiver wire time for your fantasy drafts. And I'm going to give you guys the floor because this is your forte. I'm actually just going to take some notes because I'm going to listen to you guys because you know what you're talking about.
So you're okay. You could take notes.
I went 1-2 in fantasy, so I'm very disappointed. I actually, the one game you win is the 16-man league, and I was like, that's more impressive. And I was the second highest scoring team, third highest scoring team behind the Scousers with a late run last night with a lot of points.
Darren Waller
went the hell off. But go ahead. Go. Take Travis over your Kelce. Top waiver wire.
Right, so obviously it pains me to say this, but I did call it. I said Jameis Winston has potential to be in the top 10 of fantasy quarterbacks this year, and he is still available in like 50 to 60% of leagues, which he just barely makes my waiver wire additions list because of that. But yeah, Jameis, I don't think he made a bad throw. Everything he threw was on the money, led his receivers, and they don't even have all their weapons right now. Michael Thomas is still out. You get him back potentially week five, is it?
Six.
After the bye week. All right, so... But they have a few other guys, Marquez Callaway, Juwan Johnson, and Deontay Harris, who I'll mention later on. But it really didn't matter. You got Kamara out of the backfield and just Winston's first pick overall. He's got the pedigree. So Jameis Winston. Now moving on, we got Derek Carr. Everybody watched the game last night, Derek Carr. He's available in 86% of leagues. If he's available in your league, you probably need a backup quarterback. And he's probably better than the Justin Fields of the world.
It's crazy you say that, though, because like midway through watching like the third quarter, I was like, I think Derek Carr stinks now.
No way, bro. He was playing.
Mechanics-wise, maybe. I think there was too many missed throws where I'm like, oh, God, man.
I don't know.
Anybody else would have made that throw.
There's two things that I'll say about Derek Carr. Forget fantasy right now. Just the way he was leading on the sidelines yesterday and how he – I mean, I'm not going to talk shit about Aaron Rodgers, but – when the Packers were reeling a little bit, he was kind of, you know, he doesn't really rally
turtle,
the troops.
Kind of, yeah.
And that's kind of the knock on Rodgers. But you see Derek Carr, he was walking up to everybody, slapping helmets. So Derek Carr is a baller. He goes out there and he plays his ass off. He bothers me a little bit as a person. I don't know why.
It's the eyeliner.
But I really don't give a shit. When it comes to fantasy football, Derek Carr is going to put up numbers because their defense, albeit it might be better than I gave him credit for, they're still going to have a tough time stopping some teams in that division. So expect them to be playing from behind. Jared Goff.
Oh, my.
Now, this is just based on game script and game script alone. They were down 38-10. That's the Lions that you're going to see. But then the second half Lions, they fought hard for their coach. And you gotta like that.
Biting kneecaps.
Jared Goff played confident, even though he was running for his life for the entire first half. And then the last two, I mean, like, Sam Darnold.
Need to pick these guys up.
You don't need to pick these guys up, but because I have five spots on my list, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of dribble, and I'm not sure how deep your league is, but if you're in a 16-man league, Sam Darnold was just available for me going into week one, and I did pick him up. So is Teddy Bridgewater. So both of these guys, they're available in almost every league that you're in. If you need a guy, and now I'll say this about Bridgewater, if you could hang on to him and you're in a deep league and you need a backup, if something happens, we're talking about insurance policies, bench quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater's week 14, 15, 16, and 17 is by far the easiest schedule in football. So
you went deep diving.
Yeah, so if you need a guy, any Bronco basically, week 14, 15, 16, 17 in the Broncos defense, stash those guys on your bench because they could pay huge dividends late in the season.
Truth.
Off to quarterbacks. Let me get a drink.
All right, so we're going to go with running backs here. You know what's great? We are getting some burn on some YouTube. I don't know who fantasy football stats guy. He put out, Eckler would never be available. Tyson Williams might be a viable.
This is
a question.
Yeah, this is a question.
I'm going to running back. As you're asking the question about Elijah Mitchell, the answer is a resounding obviously yes.
He
had 19 carries. I'm not sure about his targets or his target share. But yeah, I mean, the 49ers running backs, it's been a revolving door for the last three seasons. And it seems pretty much any guy that gets the start that day has potential to pop. I'm not sure about his breakaway speed, but I know that he was able to shoulder the load in a game against Detroit. I'm not sure how he'll fare against tougher defenses. And the Trey Sermon situation scares me a little bit.
It's like you have two, you know, I'm not jumping lists, but you have two 49ers
here. Well, I say this because what I was just talking about, the Trey Sermon is in the mix there, but he didn't dress, and there's a coach's decision on that one. So we're not exactly sure what's going on with Trey Sermon, but I would imagine that he's just in the doghouse. They took him high. He played well in the preseason. So I would expect Trey Sermon to start to eat into a little bit of the Elijah Mitchell thing. But the thing about the 49ers, even when they have a lead back that's clear cut, you'll see a guy come out of nowhere. And because he had a good first series or good second series, Shanahan just leaves him in.
How Mostert got in there originally.
Exactly. That's how you saw Mostert come onto the scene. We had a Fred Davis sighting a couple times last year. So, yeah, the 49ers backfield situation is kind of up in the air. But because of the injury propensity for these guys and Shanahan's likeliness to kind of pick a guy and go with him that day, you feel like almost all of them have to be rostered. I have Jamichael Hasty on the list at 5. I put him there for that reason, because going into this game, he's probably going to get some carries. And if you're desperate in a deep league, you might be able to start him if you're absolutely desperate, but it's week 2. There's no bye weeks. You shouldn't be in that spot. Moving on, Tony Jones Jr.
You believe 11, that he could be the new Murray over there?
The new Latavius Murray.
Okay.
But only he's bringing something a little bit more to the table. He's a little shiftier. He's younger. He's got a little more bounce in his step. I'm not sure about his pass catching abilities, but he looks like he could catch. He just looks the part to me. He had 11 carries, 50 yards, only one catch, but they have Kamara. But you got to think, if Kamara goes down, last year if Kamara went down, you expected Murray to get the first and second down carries and then them bring in somebody else for the third down and the receiving duties.
Right.
If Kamara goes down right now, I think Tony Jones Jr. is elite, top 5 pick in fantasy. He's going to shoulder the entire load. He'll be the third down back. The Saints don't really have anybody else in the backfield to write home about. So, yeah, Tony Jones Jr., I would say he's almost as important as an ad as Elijah Mitchell long-term, but short-term, Mitchell's the guy.
Okay.
Kenneth Gainwell, right? They're going to line this guy up in the slot. His usage is going to be different than your typical running back. He's definitely a third down type guy, but he also had 11 touches on the ground. So he got some mix. He got some usage in the ground attack as well. I read a lot of good things about him. He had a good preseason. Miles Sanders has an injury history, so look for Kenneth Gainwell to be available. I think he's available in like 85% or 70% of leagues.
A friend of mine who's an Eagles fan says that he's very high on Gainwell and think that down the stretch of the season, his role is going to grow only more and
more. How does this bode for Sanders owners?
Not well.
I wouldn't say it doesn't bode well, because I think Miles Sanders played well also.
They all played well. They played the Falcons.
Falcons defense didn't stop a soul.
No.
But you want to see the usage in these games. Obviously, they didn't stop a soul, but they still use these guys. So Miles Sanders, I wouldn't really shy away from him. If things are going chalk and it's a good football game, I expect you see maybe more Miles Sanders than you'd see of Gainwell. But we'll see how that plays out going forward. Week 1, it could be an anomaly. But Kenneth Gainwell is definitely on my radar. And just to round these out, Larry Roundtree and Jamichael Hasty, who I spoke about before. I spoke about Jamichael Hasty. I had trouble leaving Mark Ingram off the list in favor of a Jamichael Hasty, but I just don't believe in the Texans offense at all outside of Brandon Cooks, who I think is going to be elite this year. But I'm actually mad I missed the ball on that going into the season. So, but yeah, I don't think that the Texans are going to be playing ahead much like they were this past Sunday. So you're not going to see that kind of usage out of a out of Ingram. And even when he's had the lead back role in good situations, he really didn't do much with it. So he's kind of like, I'll let somebody else use their waiver wire on that guy.
Gotcha.
But Larry Roundtree,
very intriguing.
For the Justin Jackson owners, for the
Joshua Kelly owners,
for the Austin Eckler owners, if you handcuff Joshua Kelly or Justin Jackson,
four backs over there,
you absolutely have to consider dropping one of those guys. If you're an owner of Justin Jackson, I know that these guys are back end guys, but we're talking about waiver wire pickups in a deeper league. So if you're rostering a Justin Jackson or a Joshua Kelly, you have no choice but to add Larry Roundtree, because he got all the second half. I wouldn't say second half. What am I looking for? Backup duties.
Gotcha.
He was definitely the lead second back.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure. Let's head to receivers.
All right. Now, this is the hardest
one. Couple Raiders on there.
Hardest one for me.
Yes, sir.
The Raiders receivers are available. Darren Waller got 20 targets. But I'm going to start off with Rondale Moore. I think
he's going to be a beast.
There was a few things that I noticed about this game. A.J. Green definitely was on the field a lot more than him. But when Rondale Moore was on the field as the number two, he largely outproduced A.J. Green. A.J. Green is done. I wouldn't say he's done as a player, but he's done as a premier player. And Rondale Moore, they drafted him what round? First?
Second.
Second round pick. The last couple seasons, you've seen receivers shoot out of the gate and just kill it. Last year, you saw T. Higgins kind of come out a little cold, but then as he got that second receiver job, he took off. I like to see Rondale Moore this season, as the season progresses, to be almost like a T. Higgins type, where the talent is there. The opposite receiver in DeAndre Hopkins is there. The quarterback is there. And there's a guy in A.J. Green that's kind of just holding the spot for him. But as the season goes on, he learns the offense more, and he takes that job over. He could be a potential league winner, honestly.
Rondell Moore.
Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. Him immediately.
All right. And then a couple of Raiders back-to-back 2 and 3. I personally drafted Bryan Edwards. I was big on his hype train, but I guess he's available somewhere along
Bryan
the line.
Bryan Edwards, let me check how many. He's available in a whopping 82% of fantasy.
That's insanity.
Not in any of my leagues.
You know what it was, though? I am my best friend and partner in one of my leagues is a Raiders fan, and he told me last year about Bryan Edwards.
Bryan Edwards was the sexy pick going into last year in like the late round flyers. He didn't materialize, but that was more so the Raiders offense. Now he's in a situation where he's has some confidence, another year with the offense, and I know Gruden's offense is complex, so the receivers, you got to give them the pass in year one. Bryan Edwards, he didn't get the target share. My third guy got Hunter Renfrow is going to see a lot of balls his way this year because Derek Carr, he does throw the deep ball better than people give him credit for, but the Raiders' bread and butter is the short intermediate routes and then Darren Waller. If you look at any John Gruden coach team in history, he just had a ton of guys with a ton of receptions. I remember the Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, Charlie Garner team where Rich Gannon won the MVP. Each of those guys, I think, had 80 or 90 balls caught that season. They went on to lose the Super Bowl, but
did you see the meme I posted last night with the Waller thing? Like, double team. Like, it's the one where the guy's with the girl and he looks behind and the other girl's like looking at him. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know the meme. I don't know that. I didn't see this.
Well, the meme was like Derek Carr, you know, with like single receivers over here, and he's like Darren Waller, double coverage, and he's like in the back, like he wants to throw it to him anyway.
They should make that meme with Travis Kelce looking back and like Darren Waller's about to take over the number
exactly.
one.
Exactly. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
As great of a game as Kelce played, there's just so many weapons. I'm not going to say I expect any duds from Kelce, but Darren Waller got 19 targets. And in the early going, he had 7 targets and he only had 2 balls. And he just went the fuck off in the second half. But Darren Waller's owned in 100% of leagues, so that's not what we're here for. But I'll tell you who's not owned in 100% of leagues, and that is Tim Patrick.
I owned him last year.
Tim Patrick. Did as well. Yeah. If you were a Cortland Sutton owner last year, there was a good chance that you owned Tim Patrick. Well, guess what? If you're a Jerry Jeudy owner this year, there is another good chance that you're going to own Tim Patrick because while it's not season ending, it's definitely a tough blow for anybody that's had Jerry Jeudy slotted in that flex spot. He was like my ultimate bread and butter flex this year.
He's my wide receiver too.
I think that he'll come back and he'll help me out. Well, deeper league, I would imagine, right? Yeah. So Jerry Jeudy will come back. I think he's out at least 6 weeks. I don't think they use the IR spot on him. So maybe if you could streamline that recovery, you might see him sooner. But
right,
you'll see him back. But in the meantime, Tim Patrick, he had a touchdown. It seems to be every time this guy gets opportunities, he makes the most of it. They do have KJ Hamler, but he's more of a drop every pass thrown to him, deep ball guy.
He's a boom or bust. He's either going to get that 2 catches for 120
yards. I'm a big
KJ
Hamler fan because I'm a Penn State guy. But
is he the guy that played quarterback last year?
No.
Oh, all right.
Did he maybe take a snap?
I don't know. No, but remember that one time, like they like ran out of quarterbacks? And
oh, maybe, maybe.
Was that
maybe,
him?
No, that guy's name was Kendall Hilton.
Oh, yes.
Hilton, that's what it was. Okay, all sorry. Right,
so, yeah. But the receivers are kind of it was such a deep year for receivers this year in terms of talent. They were mostly drafted. A lot of these guys were drafted, the free agent waiver acquisition. So it's a little thinner, but I do like Rondell Moore. I do like the 4 guys I mentioned. But Deontay Harris.
Bring him up, baby.
As a deep late round flyer, or not late round, but if you're in a deeper league and you're in a tough spot at wide out, it's weird. I don't know how the Saints offense is going to go forward. There was a lot of anomalies. Nothing went the Packers' way, and the Saints, everything clicked for them.
Right.
Really, he was kind of largely absent outside of that 55-yard touchdown in the fourth that put the dagger in the Packers. But you would expect there's going to be somebody that's going to step up on that team other than Marcus Callaway. And he had a nice showing in the second half, so maybe it'll be him. That's just to fill the spot. So moving on to tight ends. Go ahead.
Traquan Smith is hurt too, right? I just want to clarify that. Like,
I think he's been most dropped in a lot of leagues.
Because I believe that the reason that Deontay Harris is...
This list is great. I'm sorry. This is the first I'm seeing this list, the tight ends. This is great. So obviously Gucci has a top 5 for every category, but this is your top 3 because number 4 is nobody and number 5 is else. I love it. So
what were you saying about Traquan? Because I feel like I missed that going into this, and I would have probably maybe had better things to say about
Deontay
Harris.
So the reason that Deontay Harris, I value him so much, is the fact that Tre'Quan Smith is out. So in terms of being the main guy on the outside who is a deep threat, which Jameis Winston, I cannot say this enough. That man's arm is beautiful. I think there's going to be a lot of pause, bro. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of boom plays with Deontay Harris this year. And on top of it, I think that
Jameis Winston can throw a ball over a train tracks.
God, here we go. Here we go. I was waiting for the whatever.
By the tracks. Okay. I don't care.
All righty.
He's got a beautiful arm.
So now tight ends, Jameis. Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even care.
Jared right. Cook's playing for his 54th team.
Jared Cook, let me check. The Jared Cook situation. Jared Cook is available. Where did I put that fucking list? AJ, that's on the piece of paper right next to you. Jared Cook, what's he available in? What? Did I write it down?
What type of list is this? There's two things on it. It says Cole Kmet, 7 What the
heck? 70? I can't read this. No, 7%.
I'll pass it to you, brother. I'll pass it to
it's
you.
It's going to be... Somebody's going to fall over. Oh.
All right. Oh, I didn't even put his fucking availability.
So you got that list. All right,
so anyway, Jared Cook is available in, like, I think 75% of leagues, which is surprising to me. When I saw him available in a lot of the leagues that I was in, I was like, wait, I got to check where else he is available. He's almost available in every league that I'm in except for two.
Well, he's on my shit list for the rest of my life, so I don't really care.
Well, that's fine, but fantasy football, there's no such thing as shit list. I don't want to hear that. So Jared Cook is the tight end for the Justin Herbert quarterback Los Angeles Chargers. It's the first time in history that I actually got that right, where I didn't say San Diego. I'm sure everybody could echo that same sentiment, where definitely. It's just hard to get used to.
Very.
That's the one that I don't think that'll ever stick.
That's the one.
And
for
Las
sure.
Vegas Raiders, I don't know. They've been Oakland like four different times. So I was just going to, they're the Oakland. It's like,
anybody ever see basketball?
Oakland.
Yes. A classic.
Well, the intro where he's like, where they're like, they were from LA, they moved to Oakland and back to LA, and nobody seemed to notice. Like, that was one of the best lines ever. But, all right, Jared Cook.
Yeah, Jared Cook. Jared Cook, obviously, he's a legitimate receiving threat. You look at what Hunter Henry did in when he played for the Chargers, and he was a bona fide tight end. I wouldn't say he was like a one, but he was a fringe one. Definitely a guy that's rosterable in fantasy football. And Jared Cook will be picked up in every league that he's in this year.
And like,
they're playing the Cowboys, so they typically can't cover anybody.
When I was
right
prepping
now.
For the fantasy year this year, Jared Cook is a guy that I circled for tight ends because,
like, if you missed, his value, and then you're looking at the guys.
So
like,
if I have a Tanyan,
honestly, if you have, a
I would
Tanyan,
pick him up.
If you have a Tanyan, I would be all over Jared Cook, and I'm a Packer fan, but Tanyan is just going to regress to the mean. I wouldn't say Tanyan's going to be a bust, but Tanyan's going to have some bust games because they really don't use him inside the 20s. They only use him in the red zone, and Tanyan's a talented player. I just got to see more, a bigger body of work. One season, 11 touchdowns. His usage wasn't great. He only had like 50 catches. Mm-hmm. So 11 touchdowns. He had a touchdown almost every five catches. That's very rare in the NFL.
All right, and so I got to get off that train then.
I wouldn't get off it just yet, but definitely.
If Cook's available, go grab him.
If you're looking at your tight end like that's my weakness, and Jared Cook is available in your league, maybe you don't drop your tight end, but you kind of play the matchups.
Gotcha.
I could see Jared Cook getting four catches for about 45 yards a week, and then let's just say he gets a touchdown, you know,
got yourself
every
a
other
10
week,
plus.
Or like maybe once out of those 3 weeks, that's a top 10 tight end right there.
Nice. Yeah.
All right, so I got a couple more. Juwan more. Johnson.
Who's
I was? I had
yes,
him.
Sir.
He's the Saints. He's the receiver converted to a tight end. I had him in the 16-man league, and I dropped him for a guy that I left off this list, but I still kind of believe in. But I'll get to him in a second because I will talk about him. Juwan Johnson, Saints, three catches, three targets. Two of them were for touchdowns. Again, with the Saints, you don't know. They didn't really have much time on offense because they just the way the game went shook out. Jameis only had 150 yards. So you're not going to see gaudy passing stats and receiving numbers from these guys. But, you know, in the end zone, he looked to him twice. So that's a positive sign. Jameis Winston is always thrown to his tight end, college, pros. So when they get into the red zone, Juwan Johnson, he got up for that one ball. It was a great play. Anytime you get two touchdowns in week one, you gotta put that guy on your radar. Cole Kmet. I don't like this guy. He plays like a scumbag. Plays real angry. He's a
Chicago,
little bit of a
right?
head case. Yeah. But because he plays so hard and because he has a motor and because Andy Dalton will be checking down a lot, you know, you might see a decent showing out of him this year. I could see him approaching a Tanyan-type season,
mm-hmm.
from last year without the touchdowns. So like a guy that is legitimately a backup tight end.
Gotcha.
But will be a good spot starter. And then
nobody else.
Dan Arnold. There is nobody else.
Oh, Dan Arnold.
Dan Arnold, the Carolina Panthers tight end. Sam Darnold.
To Dan Arnold. What a connection.
Wow.
To Dan Arnold.
To say that five times fast.
I feel like that whole offense is shifting around Dinkin and Duncan and then throwing it over the top to DJ Moore.
So, yeah, once you bring the safeties in, huh?
Yeah, like Christian McCaffrey brings now, everybody up, and then they got DJ Moore going deep with Robbie Anderson. So that offense, they have the parts. His target share won't be high, but I do think that he will be a potential red zone threat as well. So if you're really desperate for tight end, maybe a Dan Arnold, just a name to look out
Alrighty. For. All righty. There you go. All right. So there's your top waiver wire pickups as far as defenses are concerned and kickers. Go stream them. Go do what you got to do.
I will add defensive streamers as we start going into it, but as you noticed today, we got a late start. So yeah. I just was like, fuck the defense.
Totally, that's fine. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in a giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information. All right, so there is your waiver wire priorities, your quarterbacks, your running backs, your receivers, and your tight ends. But now, you know, before we obviously head on out of here, we have to talk about that insane game that went down last night. Mm-hmm. Everybody and their mothers are picking the Ravens. Okay, you guys took the Raiders with the points, so you didn't believe that the Raiders were going to win the game, right? I mean, you can't say that now. You can't backtrack.
Are you trying to
what the hell are you saying right now,
bro?
Yeah, what?
I didn't say they were going to win the game, but I didn't say they were going to lose it. I'll go back
to the damn tape.
Go back to the tape. It has. First of all, if we're going to do this, then we have to clarify this right now.
We also have to get the standings updated today, so I got it. We definitely got
to
do that.
If we're going to do this, I have to clarify this right now.
Go ahead.
Right? So if we're picking against the spread, I don't want to hear like, oh, I picked them against the spread, but you didn't pick them to win. Are we picking from them to
all
win?
All I'm saying is that none of us thought the Raiders can go in that game and just win.
For me to take the Raiders with the points, getting 3.5, means that I think that they had a legitimate shot, being that it was their home opener in the new stadium. And that's the only reason why.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here saying that I think that the Raiders are the team the Ravens are going forward. I'm just saying that going into this game yesterday, as I'm looking at the point spread, I'm like, new stadium, there's a chance. And it was, I didn't think it, but there was definitely a chance.
It was very situational.
I personally, right before I left the office yesterday, our good friend Kyle came in to pick up his remote that his drunk ass left here on Sunday, right? And I said, who do you like tonight? You know, just trying to get that free pick off the sauce, right? And he told me a bunch of stuff about Gus Bradley, like about the defensive coordinator. The only guy to figure out Lamar Jackson was Gus Bradley. He's now the defensive coordinator with Oakland, Las Vegas.
Was he in Tennessee?
Gus Bradley. I want to say he was in L.A. I don't know. I could be wrong. It doesn't matter.
The first team that I watched actually figure out Lamar was Tennessee in the postseason.
I don't believe Gus Bradley was over there, but I do know that they figured him out enough last night as the Raiders beat the Ravens 33-27.
Shout out to Max Crosby, by the way.
Oh, my God. First of all, that defensive line, the front was great between him and why can't I think of his name right now? He was in, I don't know. It was Crosby, and on the other side, both defensive ends really brought...
Carl Nassib?
Nassib, yeah, sorry. I don't know why I couldn't remember his name. But anyway, both defensive ends brought the heat. They brought Lamar Jackson down a bunch of times, caused him to turn the ball over a lot. As we get into the storylines of this game, and the Ravens, you know, dropping game one on the road, it's not end-all, be-all, obviously, but there is a method to the madness. There is a formula to stop Lamar Jackson. I said it forever until nobody wanted to listen to me, okay? Yes, does he make good throws? Sure. But I look at Lamar Jackson, and I still say, to this day, He can't throw the football.
You're out of your
mind. That's a dog shit take.
You could tell me all day that he can drop him in the bucket and throw him far and this, that, a nice cannon arm. There is passes
I would love
that
to
their
see.
High school I would kids love, can make bro, more than he could.
You watch the same game as me?
Yes, I watch the same game. I watch the whole game.
I would love to see if Lamar Jackson.
You're on crack.
I would love to see if Lamar Jackson right now. had Amari Cooper. And CeeDee Lamb.
And Michael Gallup.
And Michael Gallup.
And Zeke Elliott.
Then I think you would be singing a different tune. His receivers absolutely suck. Like, he has Mark Andrews, and that's it.
Tyson you know what, Williams, though? You know what has nothing to do with a bad receiver? A bad throw.
Yeah, but
and there was a lot of them. There was a lot of them.
You're probably looking at the one thing the Sauce posted.
No,
Sauce.
Dude, I've been watching him for 2-3 years now,
I think
bro.
Lamar Jackson played
just because
really
he's a human highlight reel doesn't make him a good quarterback. I'm sorry.
I think Lamar Jackson played
well. He's a good quarterback.
And the throw that he made in the end zone where he evaded pressure, rolled right
again.
Broke the pocket.
If he's shifty and doing his thing, and yes, he's fucking electric. We talked about it yesterday.
The throw is on the money.
I'm just telling you, there's too many in this league, in this NFL. You can't miss specific throws. You just can't do it. And I'm not saying that no other quarterbacks in the history of mankind have missed throws, but some of the missed throws that Lamar Jackson throws
I would say more
are
so,
bad
more
misses.
More so than anything was that fumble.
Yeah.
And like he's
well,
gotta,
of course
he's
you got to tuck it away.
But settle down when he's running the ball.
Yeah, he's got to tuck forward. It you know, high and tight, and he's got to get better. But I don't
I think this is going to be an ongoing debate.
It, I absolutely will. I think, and we'll
now,
watch it
now,
all
here's
year.
The thing. Now, Lamar is going to make bad plays. I'm not saying that he's all-world quarterback. But you know, Lamar Jackson, we're just gonna have this debate all year.
It's gonna happen all year because look, the more I watch him,
something where every time he throws a touchdown, I'm like, see, I told you.
No. And every time he throws a bad play, I'll say, see, I told you. But there was plenty of times last night where I was watching this game and I'm like, man, this guy is when he misses a throw, it's really bad. Like, it's one thing to sail a ball over the head or something like that, but somebody like and your reads, you have to be able to read the room, like who's open, you know.
I would
like,
say there was one bad play that he made, and it was when he didn't hit Andrews on that 3rd and 5 in that real spot.
I'm not going to sit here and say he's a bad quarterback. I'm not sitting here saying he can't win games. The guy won an MVP, right? So like obviously the league thinks he's good, right? And I'm sure his completion percentage is relatively good. I just think there's so many plays where I'm just like, oof, God.
How could you say
like a little cringe?
How could you say he's not a bad quarterback, but say he's bad at throwing the ball? Isn't that what a quarterback does?
Yeah, there actually is a such thing as being a bad thrower of the football. Last year, would you think Drew Brees is a good quarterback? Yes?
Last year,
he couldn't throw the football.
No, but so he wasn't good.
Yeah, so he wasn't a good quarterback.
Last year. They went 6-1 without him. I think that he was holding them back.
Cam Newton. Do you think he's a good quarterback?
No. I don't understand what that has to do with just said.
Because you could be a good quarterback and not be able to throw the football very well.
Cam Newton back in the day was a good quarterback who could throw the football.
What is that? Just get diminished over time? He never was able to throw the football.
Yes, he gets diminished over time.
The guy
went to a Super Bowl accident. His fucking shoulder was dislocated.
So what do we think about the John Gruden trying to kick a field goal from 48 yards away, getting a delay of game? Did you see the end of that game?
Oh, yeah. And then
I'm trying to pour cold water on this debate because it's not going to go anywhere.
It'll be every week.
He doesn't like Lamar. Or doesn't think Lamar is great. We do think Lamar is better.
You're putting words in my mouth. I'm not saying he's not great. He's actually a superstar. He is. But his mechanics, not that good. That's it.
I think that you're saying that deflects the fact. It's like dearms us. It's like, well, then what are we supposed to say back? It's like,
correct.
He's great, but he's not great. So it's like.
No, but I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not a superstar quarterback based off the other skill sets that he possesses, which by the way, he's like freaking butter. You can't like, you grab him, you slide right off him. He's crazy when it comes to going outside the pocket. There was times where I'm like, I can't believe he just made 18 people miss.
Was this up the whole time? The storyline?
No, it just got up.
I just put it up.
So now I could kind of, I was trying to find my point to reel it in. I said John Gruden's coaching decision. And
all right. So
that didn't stick.
We'll roll down this, some of the key storylines here before my blood pressure rises any higher. Tyson Williams. That's a guy that more than likely didn't make your list because technically he's already probably rostered.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. My brother picked him up. Like there's other guy. I know a lot of people that picked him up.
Do not pick up Le'Veon Bell. Do not pick up Devontae because this guy, he played well unless there's an injury.
Yeah.
And Latavius Murray is the clear second.
I think they'll run with the three running back set they had yesterday the entire year. Why do anything different?
So Le'Veon Bell droppable.
Yes.
I mean, like, if you have him
right now,
and there's any of the guys that I was just talking about available, I would do the, I would make the move.
Yeah.
Except for maybe JaMychal Hasty. That's the only guy that maybe you consider Bell
interesting.
Over.
Interesting.
But I would take even Ingram over.
Josh Jacobs gets into the end zone twice. The Ravens just very bad defensively, which is maybe the Marcus Peters thing is starting to show its face a little bit more because he's a leader. Not only just, yes, he plays just cornerback, but like he's the voice.
You're
he's,
dead right with that. It lo- they looked like they were lost on the field yesterday. Oh,
this is the olive branch. AJ said you are right, dead right.
When he said sometimes dead, I got good takes, like, just sometimes.
Well, rough and rowdy,
only something, round
one. You are dead.
Only sometimes. I have good takes. But, yeah, Ravens defense definitely missing that leadership, you know, or at least that voice or the guy that will rev you up when you're down because Bryan Edwards, unbelievable game. There's a couple – Darren Waller all night just ran all over at single coverage. Why on earth, as a Ravens team, would you ever zero blitz? You know what I mean? Like, where you bring everybody and everybody's in man when you have Waller. Like, that's not a good look.
No.
So that's a defensive coordinator miscue. You can't send the house when you got a guy like Derek Carr who can just flick his wrist and it'll go to a one-on-one Darren Waller. Guess what, folks? Nobody could cover Darren Waller last night.
The Raiders present unique matchup issues. With
very unique.
Like, looking at the way their offense was, when Kenyon Drake is in the game, the linebackers are in no man's land.
Right. Okay. They have to account for his ability to catch when the ball out of the backfield.
Like, Darren Waller is such a mismatch.
Same with Jacobs, though.
He's such a matchup issue. There's nobody in the league that's going to be able to match up with him one-on-one. And then if they do decide to double him up, put a linebacker, then you have Drake to kind of just, like, chip and then fall into the linebacker spot.
Right.
Drake, I think, is going to be a difference maker this year on that team. The Raiders, they might be better than I thought. I don't want to put too much into it.
Because I know. It's week one. Right.
The home game, but.
Can we talk about one more thing, like, towards the end of that game, the way it finished? Like, I was talking to my father about it this morning because he fell asleep, you know, because most people, normal people do fall asleep and can't make it to a midnight game. I stayed up for it. Don't ask me why. But anyway, so the end of the game, they kicked the field goal to go overtime. You can take down the storylines, though, bro.
Oh, okay.
Which we'll call it. They kick the field goal to go to overtime, and you're thinking whoever wins this toss is probably going to win this game. Like, that's how the offenses have been moving back and forth, right? So they win the toss. They hit a bomb to Edwards, and, you know, he scores. Quote, air quotes, scores, right?
I sent
Joey. That would have been the coolest touchdown ever if he scored.
I sent my boy Joey D a text. Nice win. Because they
well, here's why the viewer
went off.
Here's
so he
why
scored
the
and it was like, oh, game.
Here's
over.
Why the viewer thought it was over. Because I'm talking the entire sidelines come and congregate and they're all shaking hands and Lamar Jackson's in the tunnel and like Derek Carr's waving to his kissing babies and shit. Like the game was over. And I don't know if anybody heard the referee, but the referee literally like yelled on the top of his lungs, like, the previous play is under review. And everybody's still like, the coaches are shaking hands at the 50. And I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, you know? And then they show it and I'm like, oh my God, he's down, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, then he's at the inch line. They're gonna punch it in. They got Josh effing Jacobs. Then they get in there. First play, quarterback sneak. Mm-hmm. No. First of all, no, you don't do that. I don't care how close
you are. You know what the issue was?
But when you have Jacobs, it's like, he should be a guy that can just
get
in
four times in a row on the inch line. So Josh Jacobs, right?
Had a toe
injury in the fourth quarter where he could not plant. He couldn't build the speed. I know.
I was playing Kenyon Drake, and once Jacobs got hurt, I was like, God.
So, but here's the best part. And this is why the broadcast last night with Eli and Peyton was so special to me, because I was just like, it's so funny how they just called what just is about to happen. So they don't get in on the quarterback sneak. The next down, Eli's like, whatever you do, don't do a hard count, because there's no room. You're not going to gain anything by drawing the defense off. You're not, because you're going to gain what? Another eighth of a yard because they're already on the foot line.
Now,
but that's the only thing that can kill this momentum.
Do you know why you do the hard count in that spot?
You don't. You're not supposed to.
But I'm just
saying,
like, you...
Why? In case you... If it's a pass play, then sure, it's a free play. You throw it up for grabs and see what happens.
No. Because if you don't know which gap they're going to shoot, and, like, you're trying to go up there and pick a gap...
Somebody might cheat, but, like...
So if, like, you hard count, that you see which gap they're going to shoot.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why
I guess, but...
That spot, I'm not doing it, but...
You got to see... Like, there's got to be a meme out there of the faces of Eli and Peyton when it happened. They're like, no, like, you can't do that, right? So then, like, they back him up, throw the next ball.
Here I am giving Eli and Peyton quarterback advice. You can do that.
Fuck yeah, you, they Eli. Might have a couple rings or two. I don't know. But the next ball batted up, ball's picked, right? And I'm like, there's no way the Raiders can lose this game.
Can we just say something about Willie Snead? He's a garbage can. Because if he was the number two receiver for Lamar last year, now he's on the Raiders. The guy gets one target, and it's a pick.
Like, it's a pick, and I'm
more,
like...
He did more for the Ravens yesterday
than he did as a Raven, right? So I'm like, this is unbelievable. The Raiders are going to blow this shit. And then, obviously, the Ravens get the ball, and they're going, and then I think it was a fumble, right? There was another... Was that another Lamar Jackson fumble?
Lamar Jackson.
And I'm not, like this isn't attributing to my little take before about him not being able to throw, but you got to protect the ball. You can't be Daniel Dimes in it, Daniel Jones in it every time. You got to tuck that shit, because you lose that ball, that all takes is a field goal now, because it's another possession. And sure as shit, that's what happens. Fumbles the ball, Raiders get the ball, walk off, bomb, the Raiders win. Now, I beg the question here before we wrap it up. You just said the Raiders might be a little better than what we said. I'm getting on that horse right now. Like, I'm getting on that horse saying, this Raiders team under Gruden, the defense still definitely needs work, right? But Bradley did a fantastic job against one of the premier elite quarterbacks of the NFL, right? Former MVP. They figured him out. And even though Lamar Jackson, quote, the league hasn't figured me out. Well, guess what? Newsflash. A little bit of a figuring out process. You can't put the ball on the carpet either. But I will say, you just said it. Literally took the words out of my mouth. I had it written in my notes. The matchups. They definitely have enough around Carr to present some tricky things when these guys line up, especially if you want to do man coverage. Like, you sure you want to do that? Ruggs can run like a 2.440. All right? He can go, right? Brian Edwards showed he can go.
He's a great route runner.
Waller, there's no answer for him. So, and then you want to put, you know, safeties over here? Good. Here comes Jacobs, here comes Drake. They got themselves a nice little offense, and I'm thinking, okay, and are they going to run with the Chiefs in
their
the
offensive,
West?
Their offensive line showed up yesterday. They played well.
Right. And
they really did.
And we were worried about that. That was definitely part of our breakdown of the Raiders. Their offensive line was, you know, let's figure it out. But the way I see this is, will they give the Chiefs a run for their money in the AFC West? I don't think so. But when I think, if I remember correctly, I don't. Maybe I had them at 5-11 or 5-12 or 6-11 or something like that for the Raiders. I'm willing to go to 8. Maybe things bounce the right way
I'm
for
not
them.
I'm willing to just yet because I need to
That's
see
the Ravens,
them play
man.
On the road.
That's the Ravens.
I want to see this team play on the road.
Yeah, but they get eight games or nine games at home, whatever it is. Yeah, the AFC gets that extra home
understandable.
Game.
They're going to lose some home games too. I just said it. I agree. I'm not going to officially sign off on the Raiders just yet.
Crown.
Just,
right?
This problem with the Raiders. Every single year, I get my Raiders hat on, my Raiders boots. I get on my Raiders horse, and I'm going. And, you know, for the first half of the trip, it's amazing. It's fun. It's a great time.
It's scenic.
So nice. And then that second half of the trip, the horse bucks me off, kicks me in my nuts, and spits on me. That's what the Raiders are going to do to their fans this season, as they do every season.
I don't know,
I'm
not
hopping back on that horse.
I tell you what, man. Knock on wood if you're with me, Raider Nation. I think there's a little buzz in the air right
first
now.
Of all, there's very rarely a Raider game that I don't root for the Raiders.
Fact. Correct.
So I'm definitely, I like the Raiders.
I do too.
I would like to see them do well. I hope they don't sign Devontae, because that'll suck. But yeah, like I'm a Raider guy for sure. My best
Yeah, you got Joey D. I got my best friend's a Raider fan. Yeah.
I'm not here to talk shit, but I just have to keep it real. They played out of their minds yesterday because of the home game. The energy was in the building. The stadium was rocking. I got to see it, you know, week four when things regulate a little bit and they come back and they got a tough game on the road. I don't know. The Raiders,
see your boy was in the press box. Did you see that? Charles Woodson sitting right next to the
– baby, of course.
Woodson was sitting next to the – ugliest man on the face of the planet.
No, Mark Murphy.
No, dude. Mark, this guy, Mark Davis, when you look at him, and I'm an ugly duckling myself. But when I look at Mark Davis, I feel like I could be on GFQ magazine, all right? Because this dude, what does he do when he goes to the barber? He's a trillionaire. Does he say, you know what? Just throw that bowl on my head and trim around it, and we'll call it a day. What are you doing, bro? You are in the spotlight. You are Jerry Jones of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, we don't have a picture, so Dave could really go.
I honestly, I was just thinking Mark about
the greatest guy I've ever seen.
Poor Mark Davis. I hope he's not listening.
I'm sure he isn't. And you know what? And this is not a knock on your organization. I think, like I said, I'm very excited about the fact that the Raiders won a football game over a really good team. Imagine the Raiders winning the Super Bowl, right? And that's the guy that has to go on the podium in front of 90 trillion people on the podium saying, you know, hey, we're world champions. People would just be looking away is what they should do. Or the tone that turns.
Not if I'm a Raider fan.
Well, of course not.
What he looks like.
Right. It would be like when Jerry Jones is, you know, I think he's a senile old man.
This guy eating his sausage biscuit on Hard Knocks is the hardest thing
salt.
I ever watched.
This is going to be, what is it, Mark Davis come week 9 about? That's from Ned's the Classified School Survivor guy. Oh, Nickelodeon's got the hits, bro.
Oh, my Nickelodeon. Oh, boy. So, anyway, the Raiders get the dub. We're on to week 2. Pick up all of your free agents and waiver wire acquisitions. Make some trades. I made a trade yesterday. Kind of pissed off the league. But you know what? That's the way the cookie crumbles. But, yeah, so that's that. Be sure to check out the Jimmy Palumbo Show. He drops a brand new episode today. Very funny stuff. I listened to it. Chopheads MMA is back after their summer vacation or whatever it was, but they're back. Tommy D and Chris Gucci are in there with Scoop. And of course, the Squeaky Bump Time. Congratulations to those guys, because look, we're doing this since January, right? And we've been trying to plug along and trying to get the downloads and all this stuff. The Squeaky Bump Time soccer podcast here on the Chop Sports Network, just so you know, we inherited them, right? So we signed them. They're already kind of doing their thing. Today they recorded their 100th episode. So bravo to Squeaky Bump Time. And if you're
everybody loves a footy, yeah?
A fucking love
it. Liverpool, mate. Blow this roof off this gaff, yeah?
So if you're a soccer player or a soccer fan, be sure to check those guys out as well. As yesterday, and again, I know, don't talk about the numbers on the network. I don't give a shit. 30,000 downloads
so
plus
Dave
over the weekend.
Care.
I don't
Keep
care.
Talking about the numbers,
I will
Dave.
Inflate the shit out of this business, because that's what we got to do around here. Hopefully by the end of the week, or maybe even before the Giants and Washington football team, we'll have our bet MGM stuff, all the codes and the banners and everything that we got to figure out. We'll do that today. Get you guys some money for betting on football, rather than just sit here and take our picks and just say, oh, he had a great week. Well, you can too if you join up with BetMGM, courtesy of all the hard work that we're putting on here. So with that, for Sturch and Gooch, and of course AJ with all the great fantasy tidbits, we want to thank you guys for watching, listening, downloading, subscribing, all that little speak that you're supposed to do on all the socials and the social media. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
Meet me on the fucking train tracks.
Oh, my God. He's pissed, bro.
Are you cool with him stealing your soft clothes?
I don't mind. The train tracks works everywhere.